From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on May 31st, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. May the 31st be with you. That's the last one we got for this month, folks. Actually, by the time you hear that, got the white all year. On this episode of The Lead, we look at reaction to former President Donald Trump's conviction on all 34 counts of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to an adult film star. We have all the reaction to that, stay tuned. We also look at the new DUI penalties that are on the books in South Carolina. And we have an update on who will be the next state Supreme Court justice. And Senator Lindsey Graham was in Israel this week. We also have our wind down, as always, on the show. And do us a solid, give us a shout, 803-563-7169. Give us something to talk about, as they say, AT, that's right. We want to hear what you guys are thinking, what you're doing. Summer is sort of here. Hurricane season's here. Saturday fun day. Oh, you guys have to, I have to just ad-lib here if you don't, if you're not going to call. So give us a shout, 803-563-7169. And thank you. What's that? What do you mean? I was trying to make jokes. I thought they were funny. Well, everyone's a critic. A New York jury found former President Donald Trump guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Trump becomes the first former president to become a convicted felon. And I know you're hearing about this from all over, folks, but this is major news, so it is, of course, on the lead, too, because we have a lot of fallout from it. But first, I want to tell you some more details about this ruling.
Go ahead.
Judge Juan Merchan has set sentencing for 10 a.m. on July 11th, so mark that down on your calendars. Trump has not been sentenced yet. He's only been convicted. That sentencing is on July 11th. And that's just days before the nominating convention in Milwaukee.
Oh!
Yeah, Milwaukee. We're going to be there. Don't worry. We're going to have so much for you that you're going to be sick of Milwaukee in no time. But, like I said, he will be then the first convicted felon to be the leader of a major political party. An interesting look for the party of law and order. Merchan could sentence Trump to probation or up to 4 years on each count in state prison, with a maximum of 20 years each. I don't expect that to happen, folks. Just my limited legal knowledge there. But for now, the former president will remain out of prison as he awaits his sentencing on July 11th, and prosecutors did not ask for Trump to post any bond. As for whether Trump can cast a ballot for himself in the state of Florida, well, that's a little murky. CNN reports that it will depend on whether he is sentenced to a term in prison and if he has finished serving that prison sentence by the time of the election. Florida's felon voting prohibitions apply to people with out-of-state convictions. However, if a Floridian's conviction is out of state, Florida defers to that state's laws for how felons can regain their voting rights. In New York, thanks to a 2021 law, people with felony convictions can regain their right to vote once they finish their term of incarceration, even if they are still subject to parole. That means Trump would only be denied his right to vote in Florida if he is serving a prison sentence for the Manhattan conviction at the time of the election. Like I said, doubtful if that's going to be the case. Of course, he'll be appealing that as well. While Trump's conviction has been good news for campaign coffers, to the tune of him saying some $35 million raised in one day, folks. One day, a lot of that from small dollar donors, too. And the National Republican Congressional Committee raised $300,000 as well. That was its single biggest day, easily eclipsing the day when House Speaker Mike Johnson was elected. But of course, the down ballot ramifications will be something to watch this November. So, yes, good news for the money. What does it mean for other folks on the ballot that are tied to Trump? We will see. And of course, there was plenty of reaction from members of our congressional delegation and politicians in the state to the guilty verdicts, including from Senator Tim Scott, who has been floated as a potential running mate for Trump.
I can't believe the hoax, this sham,
this absolute injustice justice system, DA Bragg and the judge should be ashamed of themselves. This isn't just ridiculous. This actually erodes the confidence that Americans have in the justice system. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. But good news is coming. DA Bragg, hear me clearly. You cannot silence the American people. You cannot stop us from voting for change. Joe Biden's injustice, Joe Biden's two-tier injustice system, weaponizing the justice system of the United States of America against a political opponent, un-American. Joe Biden, you're fired. We the people stand with Donald Trump.
Senator Lindsey Graham, who has been traveling in the Middle East this week, said on Twitter, quote, "This verdict says more about the system than the allegations. It will be seen as politically motivated and unfair, and it will backfire tremendously on the political left. The Manhattan legal system has become a joke in every sense of the word. This is a mockery of justice. I fear we have opened Pandora's box on the presidency itself," quote. And all six of the Republicans representing South Carolina in the United States House of Representatives spoke out against the conviction, calling it everything from a broken justice system and an abomination to calls for appeals up to the U.S. Supreme Court. First District Congresswoman Nancy Mace, who has received Trump's endorsement for the June 11th primary, said, quote, "The outpouring of support for President Trump suggests one thing. This administration has broken our justice system. Now it is in the hands of the American people to fix it," quote. Outgoing 3rd District Congressman Jeff Duncan said in part, quote, "I have faith in our appeals process to right the injustices we have seen in this trial, as well as to vindicate President Trump. I urge President Trump to immediately appeal this decision," quote. The quotes aren't done yet, folks. We're going to the 4th District, where Congressman William Timmons, who has also been endorsed by Trump and is in a tight primary battle with State Representative Adam Morgan, said that the appeals process needs to be sped up, with the case going straight to the U.S. Supreme Court, saying on Twitter, quote, "This is an abomination. The fix was always in, from the DA to the judge. This trial was rigged from the start. Trump is leading in every swing state and every single poll. This is election interference in plain sight," quote. Of course, just to clarify, a jury of his peers convicted him there, folks. 12 New Yorkers.
The gabagool.
Sticking with our congressional delegation, 5th District Congressman Ralph Norman, who you may remember 11 days after January 6, 2021, called upon Trump's chief of staff to invoke, quote, martial law, spelled M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, and previously endorsed Nikki Haley. Well, Congressman Norman tweeted, quote, "This is a political witch hunt, and America knows it. The weaponization of our country's justice system has come to a head in this verdict. The American people know this lawfare is a danger to our democracy," quote. 7th District Congressman Representative Russell Fry tweeted, quote, "What a disgrace. A politically motivated prosecutor brings a bogus case before a politically compromised judge in the bluest jurisdiction in America. The politically biased jury believes the words of a star witness for the prosecution, a gentleman with perjury issues and a big credibility problem, all to convict the leading Republican candidate for president," quote. Now for a quick pivot to the other side of the aisle, quote, "The jury has spoken. Justice has prevailed." That's what 6th District Congressman Jim Clyburn, the state's lone Democrat in Congress, tweeted. He then took to the airwaves on Bloomberg and said this.
"I do believe that we have a system in this country that all of us have lived with for a long, long time, that has served this country tremendously well. And we have always maintained that we are a country of laws, not of men. And that was demonstrated here with this jury, with this prosecution, and with this result. The jury listened, it rendered a unanimous verdict, and to that, we should all be thankful and move on. Now, there will not be a conclusion to this until July 11th. And when that occurs, hopefully everybody will respond to that the way they're responding today. And then we'll let the politics take care of itself as time moves on."
Congressman, you were in the Capitol on January 6th after the president, the former president, lost the 2020 election. Are you concerned about political violence following this verdict and what could be the sentence coming up in weeks?
Quite frankly, I'm not. I'm not concerned about this. What happened on July 6th happened at the urging of the gentleman who was just convicted on 34 counts, felony counts, I might add. I don't think he'll pursue that again. And I think those people who perpetrated January 6th were misled, misinformed, and by someone who is now a convicted felon. And I don't think there's going to be any violence. It would not have been on January 6th if he had not called for it.
Clyburn is also a national co-chairman of President Joe Biden's campaign, which issued its own statement. We're not done with the quotes. Biden-Harris 2024 communications director Michael Tyler said, quote, in New York today, we saw that no one is above the law. Donald Trump has always mistakenly believed he would never face consequences for breaking the law for his own personal gain. But today's verdict does not change the fact that the American people face a simple reality. There is still only one way to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office, at the ballot box. Convicted felon or not, Trump will be the Republican nominee for president. Quote, and of course, last but not least, Governor Henry McMaster, the first statewide elected official to endorse Trump all the way back in the 2016 primary campaign, a move that has paid dividends for McMaster, all that early support and loyalty since then. Well, the governor was on Twitter saying, quote, the American people understand that this trial was nothing more than a political attack on President Trump. We will respond decisively at the ballot box in November and return him to the White House, quote. McMaster is a former U.S. attorney for South Carolina and former state attorney general. All that talk about ballot boxes. One ballot box is open right now, folks. Early voting, y'all, is underway for the June 11th primary. Y'all, it ends Friday, June 7th. But if you don't vote early, you can always vote on June 11th, too. Now, early voting centers are open 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. during this period. Now, you need to bring your ID. You need to bring a photo ID when you check in to vote. And you can visit scvotes.gov or contact your county voter registration office to find a list of early voting locations, what you need to bring, check out your sample ballot, all that good stuff right there at scvotes.gov. And polls close on June 11th. Like I said, if you can't do early voting, they close that day at 7 p.m. And we will have live coverage. Live coverage and results and analysis from 8 to 9 p.m. on SCETV, which will be simulcast online, talking YouTube, Facebook, and of course, on the airwaves of South Carolina Public Radio statewide. We'll bring you a full lead episode on Wednesday, June 12th, recapping all the action. So we're not going to have a June 11th pod. We will have a June 12th pod. That Wednesday after Election Day pod that I know you guys look forward to. I know you guys love that. Where is our pod? I need to know what happened. Hitting refresh. All right, let's take a little break from the national news here and talk about a new state law.
Okay.
That's right. New drunk driving penalties are in effect in South Carolina. That bill S-36, also known as the Ignition Interlock Bill, which was signed into law last year, will require installing an ignition interlock device, which is a car breathalyzer that measures the amount of alcohol in your breath. You'll have to install one of these in your vehicle, even if you only get convicted of one DUI, folks. That's having a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or higher. That's right. Now, this is a change to the old law that required the installation after having a BAC of 0.15 or higher. So we are back, we are down, we are lower. And all this is in response to the high amount of drunk driving related fatalities in the state. More details. The law requires those convicted to have the interlock device for 6 months, at least 6 months, at a cost of $130 a month. Now, there's a fund for those who cannot afford that cost, but hey, if you can't afford $130 a month, maybe you shouldn't be drinking and driving, folks, because you can't afford a lot of the costs that come with it, I'll tell you that. Speaking of the costs, 406 people died from drunk driving incidents in 2022. That's the most recent numbers that we have available. And that was a 17% increase from the previous year. So stop driving tipsy or drunk or high or inebriated or buzzed or I think I can do it. It's hard enough driving sober out there, folks, let alone with a bunch of drunks on the road. So, lead says, stop it. South Carolina became the 35th state to pass such a law, so be smart, South Carolina. Know your limit, get a DD or a rideshare, and don't drink and drive, because now you'll have to install a breathalyzer in your car. Not a good look. Speaking of looks, South Carolina is set to become the 19th state to have an all-white state Supreme Court next week. This will be the first time in more than 20 years that the court, which is currently all male, will become all white. The Judicial Merit Selection Commission qualified three candidates for the upcoming vacancy created by Chief Justice Donald Beatty, the only current justice of color on the High Court's bench. At 72, he is required by law to retire and will do so at the end of June, and his spot will be filled by Appeals Court Judge Letitia Verdon. This based on media reports of current vote counts and, of course, the subsequent withdrawal of Appeals Court Judge Blake Hewitt and Circuit Court Judge Jocelyn Newman, the lone black candidate and daughter of recently retired Circuit Court Judge Clifton Newman. You might remember him. He presided over the Murdoch trial. Verdon is a white woman from Greenville, and she is set to win by acclamation when all 170 state lawmakers convene in Columbia on Wednesday. Now, yes, it started with three of them, but the writing was on the wall earlier this week when lawmakers were able to begin pledging their support for judicial candidates. And what was the verdict after all that little vote count going on? The verdict was Verdon. Verdon's a verdict. Different verdict. Verdon, verdict. Another pivot. Take another pivot now. Former South Carolina governor turned UN ambassador turned former Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley. You remember she was in Israel earlier this week?
Yes.
She inscribed an artillery shell with the words, "Finish them." Remember that, right?
Yes.
Well, she wasn't the only South Carolinian in the Middle East country this week. Current State Attorney General Alan Wilson was in the country, as well as Senator Lindsey Graham for his fifth visit since the start of the conflict with Hamas last fall. Graham once again met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and had stern words for the International Court of Justice and the International Criminal Court that accused Netanyahu and his defense minister and three Hamas leaders of war crimes and crimes against humanity in the Gaza Strip and Israel. ICC prosecutors are requesting arrest warrants for them, but here's Graham.
It is the goal of Hamas to make you kill Palestinians in trying to defend the Jewish state. The charge against the state of Israel, a willful killing of civilians, is slanderous. It is blood libel. I've been a military lawyer most of my adult life. I'm very familiar with the laws of war. Every law on the books, Hamas has violated. They take mosques and turn them into weapons depots. They shoot rockets from schools and apartment buildings, expecting Israel to retaliate. So the two charges brought by the ICC are utterly baseless in fact, and they are slander to the Jewish state. To the Biden administration, don't say outrageous. Say what I'm saying, that the charges are not true. Israel is not starving people as a weapon of war. Israel is not intentionally targeting innocent civilians in an effort to defend the Jewish state. Those two things are lies.
Sticking with Graham for a minute, just a minute, just quick. Before heading to Israel, Graham told WCNC Charlotte that he wishes for Trump and Haley to reconcile their differences.
I think she'd be incredibly talented. She's in Israel. I'm going today. I'm leaving to go to Israel. It'll be my fifth trip since October the 7th. I think Nikki ran a great race. We're proud of her in South Carolina. I hope her and President Trump can get back on the same sheet of music, and I think she'd be a big help to him.
Now, if anyone could get Nikki Haley into a future Trump White House, it would probably be Graham. Or does he make the jump and Haley get appointed to his Senate seat? Where's all this coming from? Would she even want to be in Washington? You gotta keep your name in the news somehow. Giddy up, folks. We'll be watching. Just speculating here towards the wind down. It's a summer show. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. Welcome, Population 2,
yes.
Gavin and A.T. Shire.
Yes,
producer of
the
podcast.
We're the last two here. Are legend.
We are two cockroaches.
I often think that, Gavin.
Hey,
he's saying it, folks. So many people are thinking it.
Look, they're the cockroaches we've been telling you about.
We say what other people are thinking.
No one ever listens to podcasts like that. That's what separates us.
This is a little break from the news. It's been quite
a little
news
break
day.
From reality. Let's just take a break from reality.
Quite a news day. The Trump verdict came down on my 9-year Twitter anniversary, according to Twitter, celebrating with me. So a gift that just wouldn't stop giving,
God,
I would say.
Twitter is doing its do your thing, Twitter.
Yeah, we're in,
and it can't stop.
We live in such a post irony society that it's like the news is broken by memes and like meme personalities and stuff. It's so strange.
Like I was, where were you when it happened? I was at the gym, Brick House next door, and like I have my Twitter notifications. I get certain notifications to my phone.
Yeah.
But I have them turned off so they don't pop up because it's just...
Of course.
My mental health is so much better
now.
It's
too much, yeah.
So I actively have to open it up. But I was at the gym doing my thing.
Bricking up. Bricking up.
It's all Bradley Fuller, host of Sonatas and Soundscapes.
Yeah.
Pumping the iron.
Full of bricks.
Right there. Also getting the bricks.
He's like... It's his birthday. Happy
birthday, Bradley. You're not getting the podcast. not a present to give. It's not mine to give, honestly. It's in trust.
Yeah.
I say all this to say that Bradley's like, oh, did you hear that the jury's about to return the verdict? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, no.
I did it.
And he's like, what do you think is going to happen? I'm like, all guilty.
Yeah,
like,
guilty. Yeah,
guilty. And then later I just mouth the words guilty to him. So, you got to be able to take a break from the news, folks.
We're breaking here.
That's what this is. Break the bread. Break the news.
So we're going
to... I'm using examples,
We're double dipping. We're double dipping here, okay? Just so we get a clean break, okay? We really want this to be clean. So
clean.
Here we go, Gavin. Are you ready? Shake that Aldi cup, baby.
I got my double-walled, vacuum-walled ice. It stays ice.
It's if it's hot, it stays hot.
Yeah, it stays hot.
Okay, here we go. First call.
Hey, Gavin and AT. This is Daniel from Somerville. Thought I would weigh in to the perennial sandwich discussion definition with some new jurisprudence that might finally bring some closure to what does and does not constitute a sandwich. According to Judge Craig Bobby of Allen County Superior Court in Indiana, the answer is that tacos and burritos are technically considered sandwiches. This development comes as part of a ruling tied to a zoning case in Fort Wayne from 2022. There was a contentious debate about what, quote, made-to-order, quote, and, quote, Subway-style, quote, sandwiches mean in local neighborhood association covenants and zoning ordinances, and the court agreed that tacos and burritos are Mexican-style sandwiches and that the original written commitment does not restrict potential restaurants to only American cuisine-style sandwiches. So there you have it. I think that also opens up the door for Greek gyros, Indian naan wraps, and Vietnamese banh mi as well. And I would argue hot dogs. So just a little bit of fruit for thought as we get ready for the summer. AT, congratulations on being a dad. Best parent advice I can give you is you are an expert in your child. You will always encounter experts with different opinions, but nobody knows your child the way that you do, and don't be afraid to advocate for her as a great parent. And keep investing in y'all's marriage so that you can be the best parents you can be. Congratulations, man. Thanks. Bye.
Daniel, out with some new jurisprudence.
Yes, thank you.
Judge Craig Bobby, an Indiana judge, is telling me what a sandwich is.
Judicial overreach much?
Excuse me.
Yeah, okay.
Excuse me.
Talk about opening Pandora's boxes.
Talk about a verdict that I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah, this is the verdict.
We're going to, this is not precedent setting here. We're going to take this baby all the way to the high court. Daniel, with that legal HOA speak.
I love the chaos of this ruling, Daniel. Thank you so much
for
calling.
That's a lot of processed tube meat for thought.
Yes,
there.
That is a lot of good American too. I mean, this is a real Memorial
Mexican
Day
Mexican style sandwich.
Yes,
anything can be a style sandwich.
Well, I mean, they have a sandwich. It's called a torta. You know, that is a sandwich, and it's amazing.
It is.
So I don't know about burritos and gyros and stuff
having
like that.
Having spent time in the Midwest recently, that I'm still trying to suppress. They have the pizzas.
They'll make them casseroles. They're all casseroles.
Yeah, I'm surprised they won't rule that as a casserole.
I mean, I guarantee you they have taco casserole and burrito casserole.
Groups. They got like casserole, potatoes, and then
I think it's more binary where it's casserole or non-casserole. That's how they see it.
If you're from the Midwest, call and defend yourself. 803-563-7169. If you're a transplant, well, You can
welcome,
try to.
Welcome to Not the Midwest.
Yes.
Anyway, Gavin, the second dip.
Bring us your Pyrex.
Speaking of Memorial Day and Tubi.
Double dip.
Are you ready? Double.
I don't know. I'm so full of casserole.
Shake that cup, Gavin, please. Thank you. Here we go.
Hey, Gavin and AT. It's your good friend CJ. Pulling from out here in Lexington County right now. Headed out to the lake to go smell some beer. But just wanted to update everyone that I did get to consult baby Rena on how life is. And she said that AT and Caitlin are doing great. Sometimes they don't really act as quickly as you'd like them to, but that they are doing a perfect job and that they're the best parents ever and that she's going to grow up to be awesome. But yeah, got to meet baby Rena. That was awesome. Figured out that one of my new coworkers, Melanie, is also a lead listener, and I'm going to peer pressure her into calling the show as well. All the lead folks out there, if I had one thing to ask, it's to support all of your local establishments where you got to eat. The students are gone. Session's over. So there's no waits anywhere. All these folks are really wanting to see you, wanting to see you come out now that the coast is clear. And with all the insurance stuff going on right now, it means more than it ever has for your support at these local places. Insurance is expensive. Everything's expensive. But with our help, they can be around for a while and not close down. And then all we have to eat at is Buffalo Wild Wings, even though there's a time and place for everything. Love you guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hello, CJ. Thank you for calling. Get that exclusive interview with baby Rena, which I'm kind of annoyed about.
He came over. Gavin, you were the first person to meet
him. Yeah, but you didn't let me do... I didn't get exclusive interview rights.
CJ and his whole family did come over for Memorial Day. We did partake in sandwiches, I guess. Hot dogs and hamburgers. And so I actually made a bunch of Middle Eastern food, and we put it on pita, which was also a sandwich, I guess.
So I was enjoying this Mexican-style sandwich, also known as a taco.
Yeah, I would never say that.
Yeah, well, this judge, Bobby, Craig Bobby.
Craig Bobby.
Craig Bobby!
Pandora's box, I gotta say.
Craig B.
CJ, I think you are right, though. Support local businesses.
Support them.
If they have any beer or wine or liquor there, their insurance has gone up greatly. And so without kids here, with less foot traffic, it's more important than ever to support your local establishments. Or he's right. Or we're going to all be eating at TGA Fridays and Chili's to Go Buffalo Wild Wings exclusively.
Emerge from your pods, people. The coast is clear, like CJ said. Yeah, I'm giving you the all clear now.
We highly endorse the peer pressure, CJ.
Mm.
We love the peer pressure. Melanie. The gauntlet is down.
We're waiting for you,
We
Mel.
Know your name now. Anyway, people. I think that's good for the weekend, okay?
I think that's enough.
May the 31st be with you, all right?
Really enjoy it.
Peak summer vibes already, right?
Really vibing. The vibes are so good.
Also, it's the last good days before it gets intolerably hot outside.
We got to do a pot outside just so I can see the sun.
Outside. Go outside. Go to places.
I miss doing...
do things. Call us
person,
from there.
Person, place, or thing.
Peer pressure strangers into calling. Okay, Gavin.
Nouns.
I've pressured you enough. Do the outro.
Oh, I'm so scared. Well, you heard AT, folks. Do your duty. Give us a shout like CJ and like Daniel and call us at 803-563-7169. We need some hot takes and your favorite international-style sandwiches. Just gonna leave that there. And you can always stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. There's so much there. And you can always, always, never forget to support your local newspapers. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. You guys are funnier than that. Goo, 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 gaga!